October 5, 2022, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God. May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God. May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God.
Watt from Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Start off with John Coltrane doing The Sun. That's Alice Coltrane on the piano, and it's her composition. Cosmic Music. Then Nora O'Connor with the All Right Now. I love that bass thing Andy Fraser did at the end of that free song, All Right Now. I used that to help the sound man with my sound checks when I was doing gigs before I was crippled on the... You can tell that I'm not man alone because of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention I got with me. Nora Connor from Evanston, Illinois. Making a bunch of noise. Please, Nora.
Okay, woo-hoo!
We got to thank Howard first off for making the connect. Nora, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection, I would say, you know, I grew up with parents who were from Ireland, and they used to have these parties, and as kids, we used to be the bartenders, you know, and by drink number two or three, someone would just throw their head back, close their eyes, and sing the most beautiful Irish song you ever heard. You know, these weren't people trying to be musicians. These were just, you know, aunts and uncles and friends of my parents. And I was really attracted to the freedom of that and the feeling of that.
So you consider your voice your primary musical instrument?
I do.
Okay, so it doesn't matter whether there was instruments in the pad you grew up.
That's right.
Okay, because you're hearing it at the parties here. And what about at school? What was, were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I did all that stuff. Well, I didn't do marching band. I didn't learn how to play guitar until college, until I was about 21. So backwards from that, high school, I did choir and show choir, and I did musicals. And, yeah, that's kind of how, you know, joining the choir was when I realized how important and how I was attracted to harmony singing.
Now, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I would probably say Elton John, Captain Fantastic.
And what was the first gig you went and saw?
My first big concert was Duran Duran and John Beauvoir, this guy with a white mohawk. Duran Duran at Poplar Creek outside of Chicago, Illinois.
Now, after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
I wasn't that cool. I, you know, in high school, I was really just kind of a theater geek. And, you know, we would sit around and listen to records. I also did, like, dance. So I would, you know, make up dances to Thriller and Tears for Fears and Prince and, you know, that's the kind of stuff I did, you know, just
when was the first
laying
time,
down between the speak.
When was the first time you sang in front of people?
The first time, it must have been in high school, like I was in a play called The Wiz, and Barnum. I was in the choir in it called Barnum. And that was the first time I sang and performed in front of an audience, or, you know, more than my parents.
And was that a success?
I was into it. Yeah. I was into the fellowship of the theater people. And, you know, those were my kind of weirdos at that time. Yes. It was great.
And, up to this point, did you get involved with writing your own songs?
No, I didn't. I didn't start writing songs until after I picked up an instrument. I didn't really think I could write a song without knowing how to play piano or guitar or an instrument. And so when I was 21, I picked up a guitar and started learning through listening to bluegrass and playing with bluegrass people down in southern Illinois. And that's when... Once I had a couple chords under my fingers, that's when I started writing songs.
Do you remember the first song you wrote?
Yes, I do. It was, I wrote it when I was in college, and it went on a compilation. Yeah, it was some like desperate kind of breakup song that I wrote.
Gosh, you don't remember the title?
It was called Find Time. So I've been waiting all this time.
It was ironic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm guessing this was college time. Did you go to college for music?
I did eventually. I went to college to study speech pathology, and I quickly discovered that I didn't want to work that hard.
Did I hear right? Did you say pathology?
Speech pathology.
Now, pathology is usually trying to find out what's sick.
Speech pathology, like a speech therapist I wanted to be.
Okay, because when I'm thinking of a pathologist, they're trying to, right? Some kind of bad thing.
Yeah. So with my college had a music business program, and so I transferred into that. That seemed more my speed.
Music business, like manager?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a really good radio station and a good, you know.
What I mean is, like, they're trying to train you to be a manager?
I don't know. It wasn't a very good program. It was basically a ton of music classes and a ton of business classes. And there was one class we went to Nashville once a month and met with, you know, publishing people and songwriters and industry and label people.
Yeah, the real creative side of the racket, right?
Now, yeah.
When you write songs, you're singing with your guitar playing, it's woman alone, or do you join a combo, an ensemble?
So I do write alone.
We're still in the back days, old days, Southern Illinois.
You know, when I was there, I wasn't really writing much. I was really just kind of learning how to be in a band, and I was in a vocal band.
Okay. Tell me about the first band you were in.
Okay, the very first band I was in was called the Rocky Horribles, and we did Rocky Horror Picture Show songs and Schoolhouse Rock songs. That was it.
And did you play guitar, or were you just a singer?
I didn't play guitar yet. Yeah, I was kind of still learning, and I wasn't ready to do it in front of people.
So, were you Columbia, or who was the other lady? Little Nell played Columbia, right? And I think...
I think I was the Susan Sarandon, whoever Susan Sarandon's character
was. Well, but that's the Square Johns, right? I'm talking about, like, the crew. What Frankenfurter's crew, right? He's got two ladies, and one is kind of bowl haircut, and the one hat looks kind of like the Bride of Frankenstein thing.
That's right.
I can't remember her name.
I can't
either.
They end
up getting turned to fucking statues or something. That movie was really big, believe it or not. I'm talking about Hollywood punk scene in the 70s. My sister took me to the Tiffany. It was playing at West Hollywood every weekend, right, at this theater. And, you know, people would, like, took this fucking movie up. They knew all the words, and they're throwing a toast and jump up there in the Time Warp. So I see at the first gigs I go to, I see people from that. So I think there was a connect with the old punk scene or the original here in Hollywood. Where I live is 30 miles south in the harbor. So I didn't really know Hollywood. I don't think a lot of people were from Hollywood, but that was the crisis of the crisis. And there was a bleed over, not to interrupt your story.
Okay. Not at all.
And what was the other band you said?
It was a band called ourselves the Immigrant Fleas. And we did, I don't know where that unfortunate name came from, but we did, you know, we did Beatles and Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young and like a lot of.
So this is covers too, so you're not an original band yet.
Yeah, I mean,
this is the way me and D. Boone learned. No one wrote songs, you know, in the 70s here. Everybody copied off records. I want to play Drip Drop with this band you're in nowadays, or recently.
Yeah, the Flat Five.
Flat Five.
Blackwell School in our Texas town. It's where we buried our Spanish down. We tried to tell our little jokes in the yard behind the wagon spokes. But you can't speak Spanish anymore. It's English or nothing beyond the door. We threw our words in the dirt. None were left and it hurt. They'll make us Anglo someday. No offense divides our graves. And you can't speak Spanish anymore. It's English or nothing beyond the door.
It'll be a dark night. The sun barely rose before it went back down. Midwinter, bitter cold. I'm stuck in blankets beneath the door. Here comes the longest night. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off the Flat Fives featuring Norm O'Connor. Drip a Drop. Then after that, Controllers, Top Secret. Controllers for a little bit of time. I think they were the first band to play The Mask. But they had Mad Dog Carla on drums, and she's great. Good people. Very kind to me always. When I'd see her play her ass off. MS took her a couple days ago, so we miss her much. After that, Mama's Brendan with Interslices. Or is that Stices? Yeah, they have a weird title. Or trippy titles. Then R04 with Going Back, brand new out of Tokyo. Then Tim Hill from his new CD, the title track, Giant. Sound of Ceres. After that was Sunray Venus. Brand new from the Bacchanas. I think that's how you pronounce it. Futuro, and I think, you know, when they wanted to use cuss words but not say fuck or shit, so they put a bunch of punctuation marks. Ella Swan with Chinatown. How I Quit Crack off their new album. Scarless is the tune. Diane Marl Adoba with... No, Adoba. Cloba. Fuck my eyes. I need new glasses, people. Or maybe print the shit bigger, huh? Diane Marie Cloba. Pardon, truly. The Lights Up. No, He Lights Up. I saw a T that wasn't there. And finally, Flat Five again, Butterflies Don't Bite. Somebody was just telling me about somebody who's got a phobia still. They can't be around them. They freak out. Even though, yeah, they fucking...
Butterflies?
I wouldn't shit you, Nora. So let's get back to your musical journey. So you're in these cover bands.
Okay.
What happens after that? Well, you get out of Southern Illinois, you graduate?
That's right. I graduate, and then I move
back to Big Shoulders.
To Chicago. Yeah, back
to
Big Shoulders.
No, I was conceived there. I was born in Virginia, but I was conceived there. There's a Navy boot camp, and my pop was 18 years old getting booted, you know. And my mom was just moved from Peoria up to the north side. She even gave me a gag tie. There's a little street. I even got to see it. But anyway, there was a benefit for Hungarian refugees because, you know, Soviets went in. It's like 56, 55, 56.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And so they met there. And I remember when I was helping the Stooges at Steve Albini's place and borrowed his bicycle. And I went to that address and I called on the leash, Mom, here. She goes, Michael White, you were conceived there. You'll get to the age when you talk with that your parents' name. But what do you do when you get back?
So I'll get back. Also, shout out to Peoria. That's where some of my Flat Five buddies are from. So there's a lot of good things coming out of Peoria.
Yeah, she had
shout
to
out
move.
Peoria.
Yeah,
anyway.
She had to move there. It's about 200 miles south, people. But I think.
That's right.
It's really, really sweaty. And Caterpillar makes tractors there. But my mom was actually from Wyoming, a coal town. But when they ran out of coal, Dines by Hot Springs, they shut the town down. So they moved to Peoria.
Okay. Yeah, love it. I moved up to Chicago and kind of, you know, just flailing around a little bit, you know, working at a law firm. And then I started doing... You know, I was getting a little bit better at guitar, so then I started playing, you know, there's a place in Rogers Park called No Exit, and I would go do open mics there, and then there was a coffee shop in Wrigleyville called Uncommon Ground, which is still there, and I would, you know, just kind of start playing, and then, you know, I just started making friends with people who were doing the same shit that I'm doing, you know, playing music in the coffee shops and just running around town with our acoustic guitars. And I joined a band called Urban Twang for a while, like a country band. And that was really fun. And you know, and then I settled in with this band called The Blacks, the Black Family, which was kind of like a punk, cow punk, you know, Bloodshot Records band. And we toured around in a van and slept on floors and, you know.
Actually, Minutemen played with this cat at the Music Machine. He was a member of the Surf Punks, and then he became Scott Cowpunk Goddard. So that's when I first heard that word. And then I heard it with Rank and File used, and then a band that we actually put out, me and D. Boone, on New Alliance called Blood on the Saddle. But that's a trippy. Well, the whole thing is genres fucked up, but it is a trippy thing. Okay, so does this band tour?
Yeah, we toured.
So is this your first tours?
That was my first. Yeah, that was the first time I got in a van and started, you know, driving around and, you know, playing small clubs, you know.
What was your job in the band?
I played electric guitar and I sang. So it was two electric guitars, upright bass, and drums.
And did you supply any of the compositions?
Danny Black and Gina Black, they were the main songwriters. And, you know, I kind of came in, they had already put a cassette out.
Sure. So you're like a helper lady. Okay.
That's kind of like been my story, you know, all this whole time.
Well, it doesn't sound like first. At first it sounds like you're a woman alone. Right?
With the coffee houses and stuff. I felt like I worked well.
Okay, so how long are you with the Black family?
Yeah. So I don't know. I lasted for about 3 years. We did a couple records, and then I split, and then started touring with
those records. Are those the first recordings you were involved with?
Yes, but I... before that, I had, you know what, before that, I don't really talk about much. I made a whole record. I made my first solo record. I wrote 10 songs and I recorded them just to say, okay, Nora, this is what you do.
How did you record them? Like, yourself on a 4-track?
I recorded in, this guy, Victor Sanders, in his attic. He had a little studio in his attic.
Do you have a name?
It's called Cerulean Blue is the name of the record.
No. Did the studio have a name?
Ah, shit.
It's okay. I just wanted to give you credit. So Cerulean Blue is actually your first record, and it's written by you. Are you the producer, or was your buddy?
I'd say I was the producer. Like, I pulled in a couple friends and... that I had met, my friend Tony Ventura who moved up here from Southern Illinois. We used to play together down in Southern Illinois, and he played the big old Ovation.
It's not you just singing in guitar. You have an accompanist.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. I had, a friend came in and played bass. My friend Mark
Cameron.
Oh,
it's a whole ensemble.
It is. Yeah.
You got a drum set up? Did you get a drum set up in the attic?
Yeah, he had drums in the attic.
All right. They probably stayed up in the attic.
Probably still there. I think Victor,
you know what I mean? Up and down in
an
attic with a drum set would be fucking tough.
Yeah,
maybe.
Forget about it. Yeah, forget it. Yeah.
Now, why did this slip your mind? Was this released or was it just kept away?
I think, you know, it was released, but it wasn't... they're not the greatest songs, and it wasn't a particularly fun time in my life. So it's just this little capsule of time that I'd like to not think about.
But it's actually before the Black family.
It is, yeah. Okay. It is.
Just try to keep the timeline straight for the listeners, Nora.
Yeah, thank you. No problem. Sorry about the confusion. Yeah.
No, that's all right. That's all right. What's following along? He's got it there. And so you say you last 3 years with the Black family.
Yep.
And then?
I did. And then we started doing some shows with Andrew Bird and his Bowl of Fire when he had Andrew Bird. And he and I, Andrew Bird and I, you know, we had a connection. He was digging my voice and asked me if I would sing, you know, with him, at the show. The Blacks would open up and Andrew Bird would play at the club.
Oh, okay, you guys would share the stage on a bill.
That's how he got familiar. Yeah.
Look, Nora, I got to stop you, but you're going to get to go on, but we're at the end of the first hour. Okay. October 5, 2022, edition of Peter's special guest, Nora O'Connor. Hold tight for hour two! October 5, 2022 is the second hour. What for Pedro Show.
3:44. I couldn't believe it.
Thank you. control the view. Rights reproductions, cultural expectations, allow certain ideas to make their way through.
Proper disposal of
pompous machines.
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 Permission to question, permission to deny. Permission to question, permission to deny. Permission to question, permission to deny. Permission to question, permission to deny.
Permission denied! Permission requested! Permission denied!
and Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with Nora O'Connor with Wind Wool. Unfortunately, I would wager we have no Cerulean Blues songs, so we'll get into this. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that was Sublimation. John Coltrane Birthday Song Party from Mike Watt. From you, Dr. Eugene Chadbourne. Where's he at? Winston-Salem? No. North Carolina in the west part. I don't know why I can't think of it. It starts with a G, huh? Hammered Hulls, brand new. Rights and Reproduction. And finally, the Flat Five with House of Foam. And, is it Greenpoint? No. I'll think about it later, people. We're back to Nora Connor's journey through music. So, Brother Bird likes your voice. He's seen hearing you at the gig. And he asked you to join the ensemble?
He did, yeah. He was just about to make a record. So he recruited myself and Kelly Hogan to come do some backup harmonies on his record. And it was called The Swimming Hour. And I ended up joining the band, and I toured with Andrew for the next 5 or 6 years after that.
And what did you do in the band? Obviously, you sang with him, right? But did you do electric guitar also?
So he had, at first it was Andrew Bird's Bowl of Fire. So he had a touring band, and I sang and played percussion. And then, you know, he kind of started changing and the lineup started changing, and for a while there, we toured as a trio, just Andrew Bird, Kevin O'Donnell, and myself. And then I also, Andrew and I did some tours just as a duo with me playing guitar and him playing violin, and we toured all over the country, and we drove around Europe a couple times. Just with the Hanson family, we toured with the Hanson family, which was just amazing. So that took me up to probably like 2002 or probably in 2002, 2003. That's, I toured with Andrew for about 5 or 6 years, and then I stopped. And I made another record on my own. I made a solo record after that called Till the Dawn.
And is it woman alone, or do you bring friends aboard like Cerulean Blue?
I definitely bring some friends along. I recorded at a studio called Mayfair Recordings, which is Mark Greenberg, who now manages the Wilco Loft, but he still has Mayfair Recordings. So he had recording studio in his garage, and I had all sorts of people come. And by this time, I had, you know, been around Chicago for a while, so... You know, I had Andrew Bird come in and play. Scott Legan came in. My friend Ryan Hembry was playing bass. Gerald Dowd was playing drums. Kelly Hogan came and sang on it.
Kelly Hogan was on the show.
Oh, yeah, she's the best. She's queen.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I had the best on the show. She was great.
Yeah, you did.
She was fucking
she's
great.
Glad.
I can't wait for her
she's
to come
great.
Back on. Yeah. Which, look, I want to play... a Nora Connor song, but I want to get into this Flat Five, how you met these cats. And
okay.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
You say you should come with you, watch the birds that fly around. Where on earth did you get that time, all that time to sit around? 'Cause if I were just that patient, I'm sure I would lose my mind. Making time for quiet travel in the past where I've been. I was drifting out towards something.
Except that game, who is called a boss floor, then the bottom of the boss, and then seeing the frame of the boss collapse in on itself like a red hot Mars bar.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off Nora O'Connor doing Out of Space. Out of Space, people. And then we had Organs out of Ireland. I'm not going to say which part because they're from both parts. So Ireland. And a brand new called Conduits. I think Bushy's on the drums. Ian might be on the bass. XV with Victimless Crime. Ray Shin, Dear Diary. And finally, Tarot Card. Nora O'Connor. Now tell me about meeting the Flat Five. How'd that happen?
So, Kelly Hogan earlier, you know, we met, she moved from Atlanta up to Chicago in 97, and she's a really big part of my whole deal and spiel. She and I and Scott Legan started a trio. We got a gig opening up for the Blind Boys of Alabama. We called ourselves the Lamentations, and our whole thing was kind of, you know, gospel music, and we tried to pick songs that didn't mention Jesus, which was hard. You know, we had a really short set list. It was really hard to find songs. But then we, we really loved this three-part harmony thing that we were getting into, and Scott recruited our friend Casey McDonough, who plays bass, amazing bass player. He and Scott are also in NRBQ. And our friend Gerald Dowd was playing drums for a few years when Five first started. And then eventually Alex Hall was playing drums with us. And our, you know, we're the Flat Five. Scott McCoy described us as Twisted Sunshine Pop, and I love that. You know, like you were saying, you're playing these songs to try to turn people on to it. And that's kind of how the Flat Five curates our set list. We do a lot of covers, mostly covers. We don't write songs. All of our songs on our records are written by Chris Legan, Scott Legan's brother. But, you know, we're a kind of band. We're all in a bunch of different bands, but we play one or two times a year. And we've somehow managed to make two records of Chris Legan songs. That's the guy who's writing all the songs, like Butterflies Don't Fly.
Yeah, she explained to me the process. It's a trip. The cat, the source of the compositions actually isn't part of the delivery system. Well, he is in that sense, but he's the brother of one of the cats in the band.
That's right. Yeah, Chris Legan, he's just this wonderful weirdo who is Scott's big brother, and they have a beautiful relationship, and you know, Chris has hundreds of songs, and we started, you know, covering his songs. It's just kind of a match made in heaven. You know, we are each other's muse. We started covering some of Chris's songs, and there was a time when we weren't all touring so much in other bands, so that's when we settled down and decided, you know, we can make a record of all these covers that we do. We can make a record and have some fluency and just record all these Chris Legan songs that we've been singing. So we made a record of Chris Legan songs, and we loved it so much we made another record of Chris Legan songs, and we think we're going to stop it too, but you never know. There's so many Chris Legan songs to be heard, but
I thought there was going to be a third one in the works.
You know, not at this time, you know.
Okay, that's okay. No pressure from Watt and Pedro. You know, like Orson Welles learned us, we will sell no wine before it's time.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember those fucking Paul Masson commercials. I mean, this was Two-Buck Chuck shit, right? Well, what a pro. Well, I think that was his last gigs.
Right on. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, you're always invested in the next time, unless there ain't a next time. Look, Mr. Wells. God, he was big. I met him once on the street.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
By Pink's. I don't know if you know Hollywood, but like on
I don't.
La Brea, just north of Melrose, is a hot dog stand. It's been there since Pearl Harbor or something. And he had a chili dog in each hand. And I go, Mr. Wells. He said, shake your hand, young man, but I am busy.
Holy shit.
And he's big. I mean, not just, you know, girth, but tall, too. He's amazing. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, October 5, 2022, edition Watt Peters, our special guest, Nora O'Connor. Hold tight for hour three. October 5, 2022, it's the third hour, Watt from Peters Show.
true.
Me repentong vale se no via me gbe me o. Le futur me da. 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 Da.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Soar from Nora O'Connor. You know, D. Boone, we were putting together Minuteman, he said, I want a list of names I can choose from. So one of the names was Running Soars. Glad he didn't pick that one. Actually, the one he did pick was two words, and I was making fun of arena rock because that's all we knew. You know, we didn't know about clubs till the movement. So it was Minuteman. He said, no, make it one word, and those fuckers who appropriate patriotic symbols will dilute their wannabe power. I said, sure, Debo. Okay, after that, we had Rubber O. Cement with Insulin Eyeliner with your host, Troglodytazone. God, these guys have fucked up times like that. Thank you, Brother Grux. And he says they call their trip the costume noise scene. Bay Area, East Bay. Okay. Chucka Chucka from Y'all Bobby and Simon Grad. Sarah Davachi with Old World and the Clear Song. Viv Coringham, Al Margolis. Al Margolis out of Chester, New York. Incredible cat. Two Albert Three. And then finally, Grace from Nora O'Connor. So what about this record?
I can't wait to hear my songs, my little nerdy soft rock songs next to these, this amazing, you know, some of this awesome punk stuff. This record, you know, like so many other people, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands over the frickin' pandemic, and I started playing these little backyard shows back in like late summer 2020 when nobody was doing anything. Nobody was visiting their mom. Nobody was going out to dinner. We still weren't doing shit, but we would get together in you know, these backyards and all sit 6 feet apart with our masks on and like X out pieces on the grass. And after, you know, touring with a bunch of different bands, I just really liked playing solo again. I just kind of, I liked the idea of it's been a while since I was focusing on just being Nora and seeing what Nora had to offer and what Nora could write. So I just started writing. I'm like, I'm just going to write 10 songs and record them. I just wanted to see what was in there. And this is what came out, these songs.
And how'd you do? You know what I mean?
Okay.
The pad where, they captured the sounds. Was it a home record? Was it a studio?
I recorded in a couple studios. I did a lot of the vocals at home. But I went to another attic studio. My friend Alex Hall, Reliable Recorders. He's the drummer in the Flat Five, and I recorded with him because he knows me. He knows my aesthetic. He knows what mic to use on my voice, and I love the way he works, and he's got nice vintage feel to the way he records. So I did a lot of the stuff there, and then I went to my friend Steve Dawson. He's a songwriter here in Chicago and a teacher at Old Town School of Folk Music. And, you know, he's one person I sent when I first started writing again. I sent him a song. I'm like, is this anything? Is this? So it's hard to be objective about, like, did I steal this whole melody and this chord progression from somebody? And he's like, no, this is great. Keep going. And I going. So and then I sent some songs to John Rawhaus, who plays with Nico Case. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona. I sent him a song to play pedal steel on. And
okay, because I was going to ask you about that, because you were saying nobody's doing anything, but I was collaborating like a motherfucker, trading files, making albums with people I never even met. So you were using the internet to get some stuff.
I was. For this record, yes. Yeah, for all this new stuff, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I started about 10 years ago, so in a way, by coincidence, I had kind of a head start on that. Lucky what is what I mean. So, okay, and there's a lot of good cats out of Arizona. There's a lot of kid cats everywhere, so that's why I think it's a resource. We don't have to use the internet just to spread lies and hate. We can also, like, collaborate.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it. Yeah, I can ask anybody to be on my record, and I don't have to fly them to Chicago and put them in a hotel.
Yeah.
I can just send them a file.
See, you know what I mean? Pluses and minuses with anything human, you know? It's tripped out about that. I want to play My Heart from you.
Why can't you believe me? You can protest all you want, get you out of the house. You might make new friends, stop being a dormouse. Be sure to wear a mask, make a cutting-edge sign. But wear your running shoes, they might keep you from dying. But will you protest for years and years? Protest for decades, centuries. Will you protest for years? You've nothing else to do. Your jobs are mostly gone. There's no more school. Helicopters overhead all day and night. It's the new soundtrack, Apocalypse Light. You can protest all you want till the cows come home. But what really changes in the extra long term? Police will shoot people, that's what they're trained to do. But a sheriff just got slaughtered in sleepy Santa Cruz. $600 million guns in America, take heed. More guns than people in the land of the free. And we need to all go green with our energy. As Greta Thunberg said, it's our only destiny. People go hungry every single day, yet millions of tons of food still get thrown away. It's blamed on supply chains that had a big disrupt, when tourism, hotels, restaurants went belly up. When no one's got a job, will rent forgiveness come? Will there be UBI? It works in Finland. Wonder what our future really going to be. Some tech jobs, restaurant work, but lots of delivery. Bring back the WPA, there's plenty to do. Get paid for making art, make the world beautiful. And universal health care, forgive all student loans. They do this in Europe, why not here at home? We need new laws like no more chokeholds. We need wealth tax, nothing left to lose. We need more education for equality. We need black executives and women CEOs. But will you protest till the end of time? Protest till everything is both yours and mine. Everything equality.
Fare thee well, do you really have to go?
for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started off with My Heart, Nora O'Connor. Then we had Susie Analog with Stay Ready, / Your Dreams. I guess it's a twofer, it's a medley, huh? Then Emily Robb with Here Come the Arrows of Fortune. V. Vale and Marion Wallace. People don't know that V. Vale was actually the first keyboard player for Blue Cheer. Till they saw Cream and they kicked everybody out because you could do it with a trio. But then the next keyboard player was Ralph Kellogg, who became Ethan James with his Radio Tokyo recorded Minuteman, Double Nickels on a Dime. V. Vale and his wife Marion Wallace with protest song, finally, Fare Thee Well, Nora O'Connor. I thought that was kind of good song for the last one of the show, Nora. Where can people find you on the internet?
It's the last song on the record, too. So I have a little website, noraoconnormusic.com. And then I'm on a label.
Spell it for people. Noraoconnormusic.com.
That's right. And my label, Pravda, they have a website.
Old-timey Chicago labels put out a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, they're amazing. So that's pravdamusic.com.
Sure. And everybody knows that word in Russian means truth.
Everybody but me. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where the Communist Party there called their newspaper. I think at first it was Iskara, which means spark, and then it turned into truth. And now we got Truth Social, right? Okay. So anyway, Pravda, you know, anytime you learn a new word, people, even better yet, a new language, it just expands your vocab, so don't be afraid. And Nora, are you going to tour this record?
So, yeah, I'm playing a lot around Chicago for the release, but I'm hoping to hit the East Coast in the spring. I'm going to try to book a little living room tour.
Like Woman Alone or an ensemble?
By myself, yeah, at first. Yeah,
We Jammy Connell.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, it's got the aesthetic of this piece, this work.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote these songs on guitar, and so, you know, I can play them with a band, or I can easily just do it as a duo or a trio or solo, and the songs will still come across the way I want them to.
Let me ask you about the songs. None of them are oldies, right? They were all from the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they're all fresh.
That's great. That's great. So you got a document. To me, it's like a picture of Watt with the fucking mask on. All right. Now, when you get done with a record, well, at least Watt, you know, you're all like, man, all that effort and all that stuff, and I'm finally done, and I'm glad it's over. Wait a minute. I'm thinking of the next record. Are you in that mode?
You know what? I want to be, and I think I kind of am, because my last record was 17 years ago, you know, and the one before that was 10 years before that. So, you know, I purposely put an instrumental on this record so that instrumental can come back with lyrics on the next record, so I can have some sort of fluency to the next record. So, yes. I am, yes. I'm excited because I want to keep it flowing. I want to keep
absolutely
the flow
going. And you think it'll be Woman Alone or an ensemble?
It'll definitely be me and recruiting my homies, getting, you know, my flat fibers and you know, I got a lot of friends here who know what they're doing.
Yeah, why not? Expand on that, right?
For sure, yeah.
Because I mean, some people, they want contrast because they get sick of one thing. But other people, whoa, no. This leads to another, to another, to another, like peeling the onion.
Yeah. I only got so much, you know, I only got so much to offer, you know. Like, I'm kind of a soft rock, kind of country, folky I can't reinvent the wheel. So
deep down, do you believe? Can I ask you, deep down, is there somewhere that believes maybe music is music? It don't matter what the fucking name is put on it.
100%. I just don't ask me what style of music I play. I don't fucking know. Okay. I don't know. It's just music. Guitar.
I say that stuff because I just felt so fucking warped by the system of the bins in the chain store and all that shit. Anyway, I'm really glad you came on the show. It's a huge honor. When you get done with this next record you're dreaming of in the future, will you come back on, please, Nora?
I'd love to, Mike. It's been so fun talking to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Right back. People, it's been October 5, 2022. Dish you what? Pedro, so keep your powder dry.